This is the Dean,
This is the Dean Show.
Now today we're going to try to help you, for those who are sincere, who are open-hearted, who really want to know the truth, but now there's a lot of confusion. So you might be catching us late at night, early in the morning, in the afternoon. You're away from all the different tantalizations of this life, and you might have just came home from the nightclub. You're getting it's getting played out. You're getting tired of it. But now there's confusion. Where do you start? How do you find the truth? What's the roadmap? Where do you begin? So we're going to take baby steps. We're going to take simple steps. No matter what you did in the past, don't worry about it. There's still hope. You're not dead yet. When we come back, we're going to be giving you a formula on how to find the truth, live on the truth, and die on the truth when we come back here on The Dean Show.
This is The Dean, The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean,
This is The Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean
Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Salam, Eddie.
Thank you.
You seem a bit quiet today, man.
Today, you know, we're going to get excited as we go along, but this is a very serious issue. You know, we share because we care. We care about the people. We want the best for them.
We certainly do.
You know, there's a lot of doubt that's created about us Muslims.
Yeah, but you know, the Prophet said, none of you truly believe until you love for others what you love for yourself. And the thing that every Muslim, true Muslim, every true believer loves the most, without any doubt, is Islam.
Yes.
You know, a true believer would rather be thrown into the fire than to go back to that condition where they were without the guidance of Allah in their life. So that is how dear and how important. I mean, really, in reality, Islam, it is life, Eddie. It's life on a totally different scale. And when you are not connected with your Lord, when you're not connected with your Creator, when you're not remembering Him, knowing Him, you might as well be dead.
And I'm sure many people, they might have been involved in drugs or still are. Women might have been getting used by men and abused and going to the nightclubs and, you know, living from Friday to Friday, work, work, party, party, make a little money and then let loose. But now it's just getting played out. It's getting played out, but there's still some doubt and confusion. They don't know. They don't have a roadmap. But now somehow they got tuned in to the Dean Show. Mm. Maybe a Muslim got them to sit down, and they're thinking serious. So where do they begin? This is the first step, but where do they go from here? We want to give them some encouragement and some kind of formula that after this show, they'll be excited to live a new life.
I think, I think the question, where do they begin, depends on who the they is. It depends on who's out there. And people are so different. They're different in different ways. They're different emotionally. They're different intellectually. They're different spiritually. So, you know, a question like that is a bit like, well, how long is a piece of string? Well, which piece of string is it you're talking about? I mean, it's easy if you, like we've talked about before. We talked about a specific example. Here's a character. He's like ABC.
Yeah.
You know, what do we say to him? What have we got to say to him? But I think, you're talking about people coming. The question I really want to ask everyone out there.
Please ask it.
The people who have come back from nightclubs, the people who are playing it out, as you called it. I've never heard that expression before, coming from quaint old England. But, the question I want people to really ask themselves is, when you come back from a night on the town, you've been drinking, you've been boozing, you've been dancing, you've been hanging out with girls, guys, whatever. At the end of all of that, when you wake up the next morning or whatever it is, I want you to ask yourself, I want those people to ask themselves two simple questions. Number one, did you improve yourself as a human being? when you go out on the night, you go out in the town and you get drunk, would you say honestly, I'm a better human being because of that? Number two, did you contribute anything to the betterment of humanity? Because the reality is, Eddie, if you haven't improved yourself as a human being, and if you haven't contributed to the well-being of humanity, the amazing thing is that the most advanced studies in psychology about human happiness show that these are the two key factors in making people profoundly happy. I don't mean happy on a temporary scale where, yeah, man, I feel happy. I'm a bit stoned. I'm a bit wasted. I just had some nice sex or whatever, right?
Yeah.
How long does that happiness last? It doesn't, because the problem is this hedonism, this giving yourself into these so-called pleasures and luxuries of the life, they have no permanence at all. The moment the actual experience has ended, the moment the alcohol has worn off, the moment the orgasm has gone, what's left, right? What have you got left? You got nothing. And at the end of it, you don't feel I'm a better person. You don't feel humanity has improved because of what I've done. So how is that going to improve your feeling of self-worth? How is that going to make you feel better as a human being? It doesn't. And people reach a stage when they begin to realize that, maybe not consciously, maybe not intellectually, but they begin to realize that, wait a minute, I am achieving nothing. I am going nowhere. Where is all of this getting me? And this is actually a problem the whole society faces. Okay? The whole society is facing this, really, this big problem.
Now, the person who's listening, and usually all he watches is MTV, the reality shows, and he sees, let's say, Puff Daddy, and he sees him with all the glitz and glamour and all the women, and he's always smiling, having a good time, and now he feels like, you know what, I got a good voice, I can sing, I can make it, I can be up there, and I'll be happy. So that's the only ambition he's got. But you know what? He sees us, and he says, you know what, that seems boring what you're talking about. This is more exciting. It's where it's at.
Well, you know what? Try it, Go, if that's how that person feels, go for it. You'll see. You'll see how empty it is. You'll see how shallow it is. You see, there are some people who admit it to themselves. And there's some people who just keep fooling themselves. They just say, well, maybe I don't have enough women. Maybe I don't have enough money. Maybe I don't have enough drugs, right? And they just go deeper and deeper and into it more and more. But in reality, you don't find these people have any profound sense of happiness. And the example, Eddie, the examples are too many of, whoever it may be, Elvis, Kurt Cobain. How many of these people, right? How many of these people were taking drugs? The question I ask is, if you're happy, why do you take drugs?
Why do you take drugs?
If you're happy, why are you taking drugs?
Yeah.
You take drugs because you're not happy. If you're happy, why do you need to surround yourself with all of these women? Because you're not happy, right? If you have to fill your mind with all this music, which really takes over your brainwaves, that's what it does. It takes over your brainwaves. It makes you think and behave and act in a different way. So if you're so happy, why are you doing those things? Because actually, in reality, these things are a sign that you are fundamentally unhappy.
Do people confuse now because they think by doing this, at that moment when you're dropping a pill of ecstasy or doing some coke, you get this high, you feel like, yeah, I'm on top of the world now.
Yeah, but
I'm
then
feeling good. But is that peace or is that pleasure? How do you differentiate the two?
Well,
fun and happiness.
I am talking really from a psychological point of view, but you see, what you find when you begin to study Islam, when you begin to look into Islam, you will see, it'll become clear to you. If you study psychology, and then you study the Quran, and you study the example of the Prophet Muhammad, what you will see, and what you will begin to realize, is that the one who revealed this knowledge, the one who revealed this Quran, the one who taught this man Muhammad, is the one who knows exactly the needs and the requirements of the human being. He, because he is the creator of the human mind, he's the creator of the human brain. He knows our psychology better than we know ourselves. And, you know, this is one of the remarkable things, one of the remarkable things about the Quran when you study it and Islam when you live it. And this is what really we have to connect to. We have to connect to this understanding that the Quran is from God, that Muhammad is his messenger, and the answers to the problems in our life are there. Snorting cocaine, taking drugs, drinking alcohol, womanizing, you know, these things are not solutions. They're not solutions.
Let's take a break and we'll come back for more on the Deen Show.
Go out and take the books. Put the books in front of you and read them. Read the Quran. Don't be afraid.
The question is about whether Muslims are or not good citizens. The Constitution defines what a good citizen is. In the preamble it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility." Too many Muslims that can say that is a good Muslim. And most Muslims can say that. Most Muslims will embrace that. Most Muslims are good Americans.
Back on the Deen Show with Sheikh Abdul Rahim Green, who is a former Christian, Buddhist, went to this ism, that ism, traveled all over looking for the truth, accepted Islam. His story is at thedeenshow.com. You can view that. He has his own personal section. He has his biography. But today we're talking, we're trying to give some kind of blueprint for a person. We're trying to create some urgency for the person to take this seriously. And right now he might be even having a can of beer, a bottle of champagne. You got all sorts of things going on out there. But she's enjoying what we have to say. She's getting fed up of feeling like she's just getting used and abused by all the men. Mm. One man after another. She thinks she's found Mr. Romeo. Mm. Next things, she's getting kicked out of another car. And this.
Well, what do you expect? And, you know, you look at these... You just turn on MTV, you look at these rappers, you look at these musicians, you look at these people with their string of women dancing around them like, I don't know what. I mean, this is misogynistic. This is woman-hating, right? This is treating women just like sex objects. And the sad thing is these women just behaving like they're just nothing more than just like, you know, little bits of decoration for these men. I mean, it's really sad to see that. It's sad to see men behaving like that, and it's sad to see women being treated like that. And I know the vast majority of women, not all of them, but most of the women out there, they want a man who is going to support them, who is going to be with them, who's going to stay with them, who's going to love them, and who she can love back. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for, you know, to be, excuse my phrase, to be some bitch to some gangster, right? You know, with another 100 other bitches. Who wants that, man? I mean, you know, I really honestly, is there a single woman out there who really wants that?
No.
Right? Or maybe she feels she has to behave like that to fit into whatever is going on around, you know? But I don't think anyone really wants to be like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is the problem. We're being fed this rubbish. We're being fed this filth. You know, and you know, quite rightly, no media station, quite rightly, no media station would be allowed to, you know, to encourage people to commit acts of terrorism, for example. Mm-hmm. How do we allow people to come on and sing about shooting other human beings, stabbing them, killing them, you know? What comes down to really abuse of humanity. I mean, how do we allow that type of stuff, you know? And I think, you know, the problem is, you know, we there's something they call in psychology existential angst, you know, which basically means is a fancy word for saying we're lost. We don't know what's the purpose of life. We don't know why we're here. Mm-hmm. What's it all for, right? We've just given ourselves up to this hedonism, sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? Bread and circuses. It happened with the Romans. You look at the history of the Roman Empire. These people just surrendered themselves to like display after display of bloody gore, animals killing each other, gladiators, this and that. They were spending all their money. The whole of the resources of the empire were becoming consumed in just entertainment. And so what happened? Inevitably, a society like that is going to implode. It's going to disintegrate. And that's what's happening to our societies. You know.
So where did the people go? We're not trying to sell them nothing, some magic formula, some magic powder, some magic water, you know, $5.99 or donate $100 and you get this and you get the Holy Spirit and you're all, you know, reformed.
There's nothing like that. You know what it is, Ed? It's hard work, right? And this is the reality. But the thing is that hard work done in the right way is actually what makes us most happy. Hard work is what makes us happy. This instant gratification does not lead to happiness.
Yes.
Right? Because when you work hard to do something that is worthwhile, and you know it's worthwhile, then you feel profoundly happy and satisfied. When you work hard to achieve something that is going to benefit other human beings, it gives you a profound and real sense of happiness. And this is the key to happiness. The key to true happiness is, number one, one of the keys to true happiness is gratitude. Gratitude is a key to happiness. Being grateful for the blessings and the bounties and whatever it is that you have in your life, however bad you think your life is, believe me, you can find someone else who is worse off than you. So actually, everybody should take some time to sit down right now and think about all the things that they have. Why not even make a list? All the things I have to be grateful for. And no person should forget that they should be grateful to the one who created them. Because true gratitude, and the gratitude that is going to make you feel better, is one that is displayed. You know, if you should be grateful to your parents for whatever they've done for you, you should be grateful to your husband, to your wife, to your kids, to your mum, your dad, whoever it is, whatever, who has done something for you. Gratitude means recognizing the beautiful things and the blessings you've got in your life and thanking people. You know, thanking them for what they have given you. How then can you really be profoundly happy if the one who is most worthy of our thanks, the one who has given us everything, our Creator, we don't thank God? So gratitude for what we have got, feeling, recognizing the bounties that Allah has given us, is the number one key to profound and true happiness. Okay? The next key is doing things to help other people. If you ask most people, and this is all proven by psychological studies, this is not just, you know, you can check this stuff out, and this stuff is confirmed by studies, psychological studies that have been done. Most people, if you ask them, what's going to make you happy in life? You know, they'll say money, car, nice house. But the reality is that these things actually have been proven not to make people happy at all. Because what happens is, the moment you have your nice car, you enjoy it for 2 weeks, and then
just played out now. Now
yeah,
you want
it just like gets boring, one. Right? Yeah. So then you need something else, right? So what they found is that, in fact, in reality, things do not make people happy. What makes people happy is, number one, experiences. When people experience something profound, right? They go somewhere, they see something that affects them profoundly. They participate in an activity. They learn a new skill set. Maybe they join your club, right, and learn jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that is the sort of thing that actually helps to make people profoundly happy. When they learn a new language, they study something they haven't studied before, right? And the other thing is helping others. Actually, it's been proven psychologically that the happiest people and the time that people are happiest is when they are actually involved in helping other human beings. So that's another key to happiness, is to help others. What, of course, we call in Islam giving charity. In fact, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, said that on every single joint of your body, there is an act of charity that is due on every joint of your body. Whatever it is, 360
yes.
joints in your body, there is an act of charity that is due on it every day. Every day. And that doesn't just mean giving money. You know, charity can be, you know, encouraging the good, forbidding the evil, helping a person load up their car, helping, you know, whatever you, smiling is, yeah, can be charity, you know. So what can be charity is huge. But this whole mode of behavior where you altruistically, you know, help others. And of course in Islam, we do things for the pleasure of Allah. And it's not because you want something back. That would ruin the effect of it. You don't do it because you want something back, because then this would be selfish.
Yes.
Right? Then, you know, that only is you wanting something, and that's not what gives you the feeling of happiness, right? It's you helping others altruistically. And this is why in Islam we have always the intention that whatever you do it purely and sincerely and completely seeking the pleasure of Allah. Okay?
I'm going to cut off right there. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with more on The Deen Show.
Emphasizing and ascertaining the oneness of God. Recognizing that there is a creator out there, and that creator has given us the blueprint that you have spoken about.
Don't take anything for granted. Don't just follow anything blindly. Anything you believe, research it. Really understand what it is you're believing, and question things, and question them, and search truthfully and honestly.
Back here on The Deen Show, and we are trying to hit it home, bring it home, and give that individual we talked about doing good things, trying to stay away from, is it good to say, okay, you know what, that person says, you know what, okay, you got me, I'll do some good, and I'll go from drinking a six pack to, you know, one beer, you know, a day, but I'll just get drunk on the weekends. You know, where's the start? Where's the limit? Where do they go from here? Do they drop down? Is there hope for them if they did all this evil? Do they turn back to God? Do they repent? You know, where do they go? We only have a few more minutes, because after, you know, they shut us off, we might not have them again.
Right. Well, I wanted to finish my point. So the final point,
yes,
the final third point is that if you want to be happy, behave like a happy person. Smile. Move yourself like a happy person. Smile and you will feel better. Behave like a happy person behaves, and you will begin to feel better, because the way you behave on the outside affects the way that you are. And this, you know, all I can say is when you study Islam, you see these profound truths. You see these things. This is what the religion of Islam teaches. It teaches us that your faith, faith in Islam is not just a set of things that I believe.
Yeah.
It's your actions. This is what we believe in Islam, that faith is the belief of the heart, the profession of the tongue, and the action of the limbs. Mm-hmm. Faith increases when you obey God, and faith decreases when you disobey God. Okay? So this is the reality of faith. So I just encourage everybody to bring happiness into their life, but the best way to bring true, profound happiness, true, profound peace, true profound tranquility is by following the guidance that God has given. All the ingredients are there. I mean, I just touched upon 3 points. There are many, many other things on the path to peace and happiness, but the solution is Islam.
This God you're talking about, can you please describe him?
He's the one God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who sustains it and controls it, and we are all under his power and his control.
Because also there, before we leave, some people got an idol in their room. They got a picture of someone in their room. They say, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. So which God are we talking about?
God is not like any created thing. God is the creator of all things, and no one has created God. God is the creator, and he is uncreated. He has no beginning and no end. Whereas the universe has a beginning and has an end. We have a beginning, we have an end. We're mortal, we're limited, we're finite. Allah is eternal and uncreated and infinite, the self-sufficient. He needs no one. He needs nothing, but we desperately need him.
Closing comments and suggestions one more time before we leave for that truth seeker.
I would say pick up the Quran, read it. Read the life of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. See for yourself what Islam has to say, because it really is the path to happiness and truth in life.
Where can people get a hold of you if they want to hear more of your talks, lectures?
They can go on www.iera.org.uk. You can find out about the organization I work for. We just type in my name into YouTube. You can find lots of my lectures there.
Great. Thank you. May God thank Almighty you. Allah reward you.
May Allah bless you.
Ameen. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you again for tuning into the Dean Show. And if you like what we had to say here, if you like, listen to Sheikh Abdul Rahim Green. He has his own section there at thedeanshow.com. You can hear some more of his talks, some more of his shows that we've done with him. And we hope that you've sincerely gotten a benefit. And we hope that we get to see you again next time here on The Dean Show. Next week, same time, same channel. Until then, peace be unto you.